Please make yourselves comfortable and help yourselves to some tea if you like. May all beings be happy. May they awaken from the dream. Ignorance, greed, and anger have no hold on the awakened heart mind. So what is this? What's the awakened heart mind? So I'm going to just read a paragraph here from the Zen teachings of Bodhidharma. It's translated by Red Pine. And just a footnote, Red Pine is my favorite translator. He's translated lots of sutras, and although he is fluent in many languages, can read and interpret ancient script of many of these sutras, he's Western, so he speaks to me. And it's, you know, many sutras are difficult to get through, and he's my favorite, so whatever that's worth. So trying to find a Buddha or enlightenment is like trying to grab space. Space has no name and no form. It's not something you can pick up or put down. And you certainly can't grab it. Beyond this mind, you'll never see a Buddha. The Buddha is a product of your mind. Why look for a Buddha beyond this mind? To see form, but not be corrupted by form, or to hear a sound and not be corrupted by the sound, is liberation. Eyes that aren't attached to form are the gates of Zen. Ears that aren't attached to sound are also the gates of Zen. In short, those who perceive the existence and nature of phenomena and remain unattached are liberated. Those who perceive the external appearance of phenomena are at their mercy. Not to be subject to affliction is what is meant by liberation. There is no other liberation. When you know how to look at form, form doesn't give rise to mind, and mind doesn't give rise to form. Form and mind are both pure. So I'd like to open it up for discussion or questions. Doesn't have to be about what I just read, be on anything that's on your mind.
Is pure ending?
It's neither empty nor pure. You know, we're just ordinary human beings. We have to get through this life day by day, moment by moment. There's a secret here. There's a great secret here called liberation. Doesn't have to be a secret, but we hide from ourselves all the time. We hide from our nature, our purity. The beauty of getting caught up in our stuff is that that's where liberation takes place, not somewhere else. Right here in this midst of it. Yes.
I don't even know if I like the vowels.
Vowels?
The vowels.
Oh.
Because it's, and I've been in this for a lifetime, but it's like just the sense of lack in the vows. I vow to in desires, I vow to this. It's all like a future doing, right? It's like someone in time doing. And this is, I'm coming from this is a new place I'm in, but it's just, it's like a vowing to do something to make suffering less in the future. It's accepting the sense of time that there are problems instead of just, like you said, just going right into what's here now and seeing right through it.
Language is interesting. Because yes, you're right. Language can take you away from this moment. And it creates concepts and conceptual views of things. And your intellect gets in the way of just this. So a vow can be in the moment. It doesn't have to be in the future. A vow can be this next breath.
Just going to say, it's funny you say that, because I was going to say one of the things that I do when I work out in the morning is I actually say the vows to myself as a meditation to get through my workout. So sometimes they don't have to be anything more than just what they are, you know. It's a koan in itself, I guess, you know, like they're just vows and then they're not vows, it's just words, but you have to take them to heart too.
Yeah, so that's a good observation. And the idea of a koan, I think, is appropriate when it comes to looking at the vows.
Koan's beautiful, right? It brings us to the I am, to the now. It brings us to that which the mind can't find.
Well, where are all beings to be saved?
Where
are all beings to be saved? How do you save them? Are you saving them? Who's the I? I mean, see, it opens up the door to a lot of investigation into who is it that's sitting here and saying, I vow. If you're not attached, there's no one sitting here saying, I vow.
Right.
Buddha says, I save all sentient beings. I haven't saved any sentient beings.
He says, even he woke, everyone, all sentient beings are this. They're all awake, something like that.
Yeah, well, we are all sort of awake and asleep at the same time.
This is an interesting point because, number one, these are translated texts. One point. And I personally often get into a bind with others. I sometimes get frustrated because I have to use an English language. And it's the only language I know. So an apple is an apple, a tree is a tree. And I often get blind stares suggest to someone, is it possible for you to think without words? And then I go on to, try to explain myself, but I'm explaining something with the language that I complain about. I think that in a way, this language, in the way it's put forth for, say, an English speaker, we're literary. We take things literally. There's, for me, something it's pointing to that's not what it's saying necessarily. As a younger guy, getting introduced to the Eastern, the exotic, the, colorful and interesting things, and then being given the rule book and then in other languages, what sound like directives are not necessarily directives. It's more like just a pointing or a, hey, look at that.
Kind of yes. Thing. Very good.
Especially an American like myself, it comes across as like, you better do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's opposite.
it's just, I guess what's latest for me, any sense of lack just isn't true.
Sense of lack?
Any sense of lack just isn't true.
Hmm.
And just playing, and hope I'm not disrupting your space.
See this? How many are there here? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Are there 7 or not? Just one? Just that? How many are here? You see, it's neither emptiness nor form. You have to have to 360 degrees. You can't just be hanging out in emptiness. That's not here. That's why we resort to that, or this, or a shout, or a smile.
For me, the vows are like, they're like almost like physical exercises where we stretch our consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's all they are. They're just kind of something that just touches on something because we are not grasping it.
And it's correct to say it's pointing at something that's beyond language. So don't get caught up in the language. See what it's pointing at. That's just like this. Why the vows work for some people and they don't for others, you know, that's okay. But over time, I've recognized that there's a place in my life for letting the light come through the cracks in my ego and personality and ideas of what is that I've built around myself. You know, in other words, I don't know. And what this is pointing at, what these 4 bodhisattva vows are pointing at, is a kind of don't know. You don't really know from the point of view of ego, personality, you know, this body, what that means. But it's pointing at something that is beyond this, that you've approached, that you just talked about in the sense of there's no lack. So use the word lack, which is fine. It works. The universe is bountiful. Yes. But what does that mean? You know?
Have to pay our bills, we, and gas in the car.
Exactly. Yeah, we do. And that's the beauty of it. Like I started out to say, an awakened heart mind is not caught up in ignorance, greed, and anger, although it is present there. You can be in the hell world and not be attached to the hell world. And we often are. We had a wonderful talk on Sunday about this crazy person in the wheelchair. And, you know, what do you do? How do you help when the question comes up? How do I help in a situation? So if you have some idea about it, you have some thought about it, or you think there's some reward for you in this life or some future life by helping, then you're living in a delusion and you're not really free. Or if you're just doing what needs to be done because you're clear, your mind is clear like space. You're not involved in analyzing, figuring it out, trying to put it into some form that you've created for yourself. And you're just clear like space. You know, no lack.
Can I offer something? You often say to me, you know, and I say it to myself now too, I have a lot of karma. And I, you know, sometimes that's one way that I just kind of look at the things that happen. Like, oh man, I, you know, got to buy groceries again, and groceries are super expensive, and this really stinks. And, you know, I kind of pause for a second, and I go, you know, this is the life that I have, though, and this is my karma to resolve, whatever it is that I have to resolve, and just shake it off and move on from there. You know, what do I have to learn from this life that I'm living and all of the complexities of it? And then at the same time, not becoming attached to that either.
One of my favorite quotes, Ajahn Chah, it's like this. It's like this. And the, you know, also our notion of karma and things being full in their nature and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have to, like, daily, maybe moment by moment, remind myself that I'm the tip of the pin at the beginning of endless causes and conditions. So I'm here, and this is like, I did. My notions about something being beautiful and full or wretched and black is just all up for grabs, every bit of it. And I think that the difficulty here is, for me, and this is the practice, you know, like there are things that I do in a mundane way every day to just remind myself that it's like this. And many times I'll be sitting in meditation, or I'll be somewhere doing something, and I'll realize that I'm completely lost in thought, and things come out of my mouth, and I'm like, oh, why did that come out of my mouth? And things that I'll do, I'll just do them. And then if while all those things are going on, I've created some distance from those things where I can actually, like, look at them, observe their characteristics, what's going on, and not be afraid of that, even if, you know, things are what I would deem to not be good, or to be like really awesome and get inflated about it, or whatever, you know, bullshit is happening. You know, I find, like, this, it's kind of like this open field of, like, having some distance from that. Like the concepts I have about something being special, or, you know, what was that thing about, we sit like frogs, you're just a frog on a log, nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, like, the light of the stars still hits you, or something crazy like that. I feel it personally in my meager little understanding that the less I control my ideas of what I feel are special or not special, the easier I feel. It's weird. I don't have the words for it. It's just the easier it is, or that it comes and it goes. It's that easy.
Yeah, we can talk around it a lot, right? So just like this, that works for me.
Yeah,
that works. And don't know works for me. Just don't know. So, you know, there are certain pointers. We were talking about the four bodhisattva vows pointing at something. I think it's true that they do, when you don't get caught up in the language of it. So all of life is pointing at something. What is it? It's just like this. It's nothing special. It's not good or bad. Good and bad is in the world of duality, right? It's this topsy-turvy world that we've created for ourselves. Just being present is not as easy as it sounds. But that's the beauty of it, you see. That's what's so wonderful about getting caught up in it. It's like, aha. How can you have an aha moment? Here you are in a physical body, Now, physical form, you're not a fucking angel. You're not. You're in a physical body. You shit. You pee. You eat. You sleep. You get angry even. Well, maybe you don't. But some of us do. But, you know, talking, I often don't know what gets resolved, but we do it anyway. So not being subject to affliction is what's meant by liberation. Not that we're free from afflictions, not being subject. Ears that aren't attached to sound. When we sit in meditation, are our ears attached to sound? To see form but not be corrupted by form, or to hear sound but not be corrupted by sound, is liberation. It's the only liberation. So, you know, it's not that sound disappears or doesn't exist. Sound is there. Hearing is there. Seeing is there. You know, cars are going by. You can hear them. We're not somewhere else. We're right here. I'm really glad you all joined me tonight. Thank you. Enjoyed seeing you all. Thanks for your contributions and being here.